like to look at a scripture in Ephesians 5. Everyone likes a message about love, right? Well, we like to think of love and be loved and be in love. And love, they say, makes the world go round. And it definitely would be a boring place without it. I think whether we could put definition to it or not, we probably all here have some experience with it, have understandings of it in ourselves. I'm thinking about when the F5 tornado hit Joplin, Missouri, there was some people that got, I believe, in a freezer, I believe it was, and was taking cover in the freezer, and a third of the town was being torn down around them. There was a guy in there that someone recorded saying, "I love you all. I love everybody." He kept repeating it. Wanted everybody to know. I don't know that it sounded to me like that he was someone that had enough understanding about life to know that you should love one another. He wasn't repenting in a sense, but it sounded like in the time that it could be the end of his day, he wanted to leave there. The best he could do was understand that what all humanity ought to do is love one another. So he got to that point. I don't know. I don't believe that he was probably somebody that went around saying that every day to people that he met on the streets. But I think in that time, he was stirred in his heart enough and understanding enough to know something about love, and it stirred him to simply love everybody. He was erasing away everything else out of his heart and mind and was loving them. And he wanted them to know, "And I love you all. I love you all. I love you all. I love everybody," he said. "I love everybody. I love you." And I think he was concerned with eternity at that moment. And the only understanding he had was love. But I want to say some things about love. There is an idea about love sometimes that really isn't that much love involved in it. Just an emotional something that someone gets out of somebody else is not necessarily love. There's a lot of love is an emotion for sure, but it isn't necessarily, that doesn't take in much of it. Actually, when you love something, you value it. One of the greatest definitions or parts of love is the value. Jesus saying to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you have some emotional feeling sometimes, Peter? No, but do you put value on me? How important am I to you? Well, Lord, you're important enough to me to give everything." That's going to start again in a measure of love. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Well, that's an action that says you're important enough to me for me to make sure that I'm doing what pleases you. Because you're valuable and I want you to be pleased. And that's what love is giving. Love isn't even necessarily that much emotion to it, but it's a sense down in us that we have a value for something that we're going to give something to. It's much more better in the definition anyway than that. And Jesus definitely loved us.
Yes,
he had feelings of compassion and feelings of emotion towards us because he valued us.
Yes.
As Brother Ed brought out last night, he valued us. You know, he said, "We're a pearl to him."
Yes.
That's important to me. That the Lord thinks I'm valuable. Because I hang a lot on that. I feel pretty faulty, but I don't think He is. And if He loves me, boy, that sure means a lot. In Ephesians 5 starts out, "Be ye therefore." Now, when you're looking into something and it says the word "therefore" pops up, You need to take notice of that. Because the word therefore is referring to something that went before. Or you may say, because of this. So when you read that and it says, be therefore, well, there was something that went that you needed to understand. That happens to be the last verse of the previous chapter. So let's look at that first before we get into Ephesians 5. It says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sakes forgave you. Therefore, because of that, we sometimes think, I want to say about that scripture and the scriptures to come, think about it more than a place that you want to try to get to as circumstance comes and change that into the idea that it's a state of being. God wants us to respond and get to places for sure, but God also wants us to get to a place into our experience to where it's the state of our life. It is the state of being that we have. We oughtn't to have the idea that I ought to somehow find some kindness or some brotherly kindness sometimes when I'm pushed a little bit. There is an experience in Christ to where that is the state of a Christian being. That they're kind. Have brotherly kindness. It's a attribute of Christ Himself. But to say, boy, oh boy, I go around 90% of the time, and then when something happens, I sure find grace for it to be tenderhearted. Well, no. Think of it as a state of being that we as Christians are supposed to have in our lives. A tenderness about us, a brotherly kindness, a love, you may say. These are attributes of love. Because I find someone valuable, not just someone, I find all people valuable. Oh, but wait a minute. Now I'm going to tell you something. I wrote on the board the thought for the night. That might sound easy. It's a little more than it looks like. And I find it difficult. Place to get to. I want this to be a challenge. Because it is a challenge. We all like messages about love, but this one's a challenging message because it's going to lay something ahead of us, a place, a state that we're supposed to get to and be in that the Lord has wanted us to be. He lived in this state of being. He lived there. He went around in the state of being. He walked in love. So this scripture says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now the idea here is he lays out the first. And then he says in the second, be like little children that imitate their parents. That's really the meaning of this. Be like a dear child that has a love for their parents. And you know how little children are. They're very much in the learning stages. And so they're impressionable. So if you do something a certain way or you sound a certain way, I've actually heard my children at times before say something in a manner that I did not like the way they said that and said, where did they get that from? Yes, I remember. I know why they're saying that like that because they're being like Daddy. Daddy's important, Mommy's important, and they're learning behaviors as they do that. They're learning how to face life, they're learning how to deal with complicated issues, and if somebody says something to you, they're learning how you say something back to them, and they're learning how to get along with their brothers, and they're learning how to get along, so all of a sudden, then they respond in a way, and I say, no, you don't respond. Where did they get that from? Where'd you get that attitude from? It's just the way the children respond. But the Lord is saying here, be followers of God as dear children. Christ laid the example to us. Can anyone here find a fault in it? Is there an error in His way? No, of course not. Jesus' way was a perfect way. We'll justify ourselves sometimes in the way we behave, but can we point it to the way Christ lived His life? Be you an imitator of Christ. This is the only way we know how to live our Christian life was by the example that Jesus laid before us. And we ought to be looking at Him and imitating what He does. If He steps over here, well, I step over here. I do as He done. He answered people His way. I can answer people His way. He had a tenderness, a compassion, a concern. All those things. We ought to follow Him as a dear child. Not with a desire to get out of something. Not a desire to if I have to. But with love. As one we appreciate and love and put up to as the ones that I want to be like that. That's the highest goal. That's the highest thing that I can attain to. I think this is a great challenge. I find it a great challenge to me. And I want to say this. There is things that happen that call on us sometimes for the very service, sacrifice, devotion, it calls on great things sometimes. You know, I don't find them as hard as I find what this next verse says. Walk in love. You know, there can be a big disaster happen and people I don't even know. Hearts open. They don't even know me. Their hearts open. I can hear of a disaster of people that I don't even know. And my heart opens to those people. I can understand what kind of it was. You know, there was the guy that was in North Korea, the young 20-year-old man. You probably heard that on the news. He comes back. They end up getting him back, but he's in a coma, and then he dies. And you know, that whole news thing, I couldn't help from relating somehow to how they must feel about having a son that was important. I mean, they loved him and all that. And, you know, I can't help from being touched by that. When disaster hits, tornadoes, I want to go help them clean up. I want to make sure that they got something to eat too. I want to make sure that they're well. And when the disasters hit here or there or a calamity hits or you hear somebody's disease or somebody has a problem, our hearts are moved, isn't it? You know, you don't have to be a Christian to do that. Many people of the world do that. I was at home at one time and the river was coming up and it was starting to flood and almost every neighbor that lived up the road from me come back down to and ask me, can we help you? I love that. Thank God for communities like that and people like that. But I want us to be challenged with something tonight. There's something more than that to the Christian life. It's more than just being stirred out of a moment that love would be stirred. But walk in love. I went to a woman's house one time. And I best I can remember, the reason I went was that this person was the kind of the overseer of the community center. And there was a apple tree that was there that had a lot of apples on it. Nice looking apples. And I wanted to get the apples, and so I wanted to go through the right channels and ask if I could get some apples off of there. And so I ended up finding out that here's the one that oversees that. And so I went to the door and knocked on the door, and there was no answer, so I knocked on the door again. And I think it was like three times I knocked on the door. I wasn't trying to be a nuisance. I was trying to see if somebody was home. It seemed logical to me the way to do it. Wanted to talk to him face to face. And finally, this woman answers the door. She's an elderly woman. And she opens the door like, "What are you doing?" Never met her. She didn't know me from Adam, and I didn't know her from Eve. Just honestly, that was the first time I ever met. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Well." And said, "Well, and this and that." And she kind of, I'm gonna tell you, I started getting low. She started cutting me down. And finally, she says, "Who are you anyway?" Well, I'm Marty Clevenger, and I live down here in Green Bank, you know. And she said, "Oh, your wife is the one sick with cancer, isn't she?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Oh, honey, I'm thinking, do you have to have a dying wife to have some dignity? Do you have to have a catastrophe on you to have a kind word spoke to you? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to reach out to all the world, but we can't be kind to somebody that comes into our world? We can't look at somebody that goes down the road and think there's a human soul there? There's somebody important there? We can claim love in disaster. We can claim love when things happen. But what about simple dignity to one another? What about our congregations? Oh, how many times, I don't want to be critical, but how many times I've said, what is this love thing about? If we would get in trouble, we would have so many people holding us up around if something would happen, but in the normal course of life, we can so easily dismiss one another. So easily say something negative about somebody behind their back. So easily dismiss them. Jesus says, follow Jesus. Walk in love. Don't let it be something that you have to find in the moment of time, but find a state of being with it. Understand the burden? Christianity is more than going through the disaster. Most of our life is not a disaster. You know, love is so important that Jesus said that we'd be defined by it. All men would know that you're my disciples. Because you walk in love with one another. Because you're important to one another and you're knit to one another. And not only in the hard times, sure you'll stand up in the hard times. But there's dignity there in the simple times. You understand? And the idea here that we would walk in love indicates so much more than just acts of love. But it's the state in which we live life by. And then we see things so much more clearly, folks. It's so much more richer than to see scorn at our fellow man that isn't being right, than to just walk in love that the Lord wants us to. Jesus so much had the ability. Well, I'm thinking of a scripture. It's about in three different of the Gospels, I think. Maybe everything but John, I'm not sure. But it's the woman with the alabaster box. You remember her? She brings this alabaster. The Bible said in one of those that she was a sinner. She wasn't a good woman. She brings an alabaster box. It was a very precious ointment. And it was worth a lot at that time. And she brings that. I can't suppose in my mind that she was a wealthy woman. I don't know where she got it. The Bible doesn't say whether she got it by bad ways or good ways or was handed down or how she got it. No, it didn't say, but she had it. And she brings it and opens it up and pours it out on the Lord. Is there anyone here that can imagine in their wildest imaginations think that was a bad thing? I mean, isn't this the way we live life? We judge the circumstances around us. We look and say, this is a good thing. This isn't such a good thing. This is something I would do. This is something I wouldn't do. We judge things that way. There's nothing wrong with those kind of judgments. We make those kind of judgments. Why would the disciples then say, this is a bad thing? Because they wasn't walking in love. They judged this. I think if this woman went through a terrible thing and they'd have looked at her with pity that this disease had, or this thing had happened to her, they would have probably done like that woman done me. Oh, you poor thing! Cut me down, just without even meeting me or know me. Cut me completely down, but find out that the whole community was having pity. Well, she better have some too. It's time to have pity. This poor man's wife's dying. Have pity? But I'm a human being without that. I have the same cravings to be liked and loved and have fellowship with people and all of that. I have no desire to have my day ruined by somebody chewing on me. Listen, I am not an easy person offended, and that didn't offend me. I just want to know that I learned from that. Lord, help me not to do people that way. Can I tell you something? I have. In some senses, I have. And I felt shame about it when it was done. That's not the way to do somebody. Walk in love. That woman come to the Lord, and out of the love of her heart for Him, she broke the most precious thing she had. I look at that story and say, wow, that's remarkable. Lord, help me to pour out my most important substance on the Lord. That's a challenge to us every since. But those disciples there at the time looked at that and judged that in a way that wasn't proper to judge it, because they fail from the same things we do. They didn't walk in love either. They didn't walk and see it in every time that they needed to see it in. They looked and misjudged things that was around them. Another illustration that the Lord had. There was and it has to do, I know, with going to heaven, but He had a little illustration. The illustration was is that there was these workers, and they come out, and the master hired them in the morning. He comes back out and hires some at noon. He comes back out, it's right at the end of the day with an hour left, and he finds a man there. What are you doing here, idle? Lord, nobody hired me. Well, you go and work, and I'll give you what's right. Agreed with all of them for a penny and said, I'll give you what's right. Come to the end of the day, the man comes up there and he gives the man that worked 1 hour in the cool of the day, he gave him a penny. And all the rest of them look, and supposing when we get there, we'd have to get more. We worked harder than he did, we'll get more. But when they got there, he gave him a penny. How do you judge things like that? I want to tell you the way I would look at it. I look at it that I might be that man. Someday. It don't say, but I suppose men work for the same reason down through the history of time. He wanted to eat. And he probably had other mouths that he was responsible for. Maybe a wife and maybe children. And for him to receive that penny was the greatest of blessings to this man. It was a wonderful idea that he got that blessing. I know that it refers to God. Everybody gets the same reward in heaven. But how do we judge? The judgment on that of the other men in this parable was the idea that there was something evil about the man that had gave this guy a penny to feed his family with. Lord help us. Walk in love. That we might be able to discern the things around of our lives and have it properly in our hearts. We shouldn't be disturbed by such things as that. But thank God for things like that. Lord, help us to walk in love. We will be faced from time to time with people that will say things and do things and act in ways and claim to be Christians that don't act like Christians, and there will be people that will claim to be Christians that won't live like Christians, and there will be people that do things and say things and all of those things, and in all of my faults, the only thing I can say, Lord, is have mercy on all of us. I didn't walk in their shoes. Lord, I don't know what propels them to do that or what needs they have inside that makes them that way. But Lord, have mercy on them that they can see truth too, and help my eyes to be clear. And Lord, help all of us. And that's the way we walk in love. Because that's the challenge. I find it fairly easy to get involved when I get the call in the middle of the night that says, brother, so-and-so is in trouble, pray. It's not hard for me to care. It may be a little harder when discord starts and somebody's doing something different than what I think. then I find it a challenge. I find it a real challenge to actually walk in love and be the example in those kind of times that we really should be. You know, the Scripture says, and I can't get away from it, so it's not Marty saying it, but the Scripture teaches that a wife should be in subjection to her own husband. You can twist it, turn it, run around, but you've got to explain that it means something. And there may be ambiguity in it. There may be this situation or that, and you can do all that. But I'm going to tell you, when he said husband loves your wife, as Christ loved the church, there's not much ambiguity in that. I'm going to tell you, there isn't much way. You may say the what, but I'm going to tell you, we understand what Christ done for the church. He gave His life for it. He protects it. He mentors it. He provides for it. He cherishes it. He does all that for it. How are you going to argue that? And you know, that's a state. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a state of it. I heard today there's times of disagreements. Oh, there's disagreements. You better believe there will be disagreements and everything like that. But what's underneath of all that should always be, I love my wife. I will die. I will die for her. I would step in her place. I will die making sure she's supported. I will die making sure that she's happy. I will die making sure that it's my job, it's my duty. That's plain enough to see. Do you know that we can say that because a husband and wife relationship is that of Christ and the church? But you know, there's strong language concerning how we ought to love our neighbor. That we ought to walk in love. You know, walking in love was more than people, but let's cover the whole span of it. Do you know the way we shouldn't struggle and strive to find it possible for us to keep the Lord's commandments? We're going to find the love that propels us to do it. You know, loving God should be a state of our being. It should be the state of our lives, that what I do it to the glory of God. What I do it because I love the Lord. And any time the Lord's in there, it helps so much that I'm loving the Lord. Now, I like to tell this because it's a very simple illustration. But one time at home, I go and look on the poster board, and my name was there for putting wood in the stove. I didn't say I was going to put wood in the stove. My name's up there. I'm part of the congregation. I say, okay, put wood in the stove. We have an outside stove. Winters are hard up there. Oh, it wasn't too bad when I remembered it at 9 o'clock, and I go down at 9 o'clock and put it in there. But when I'm already laying in bed, and it's 12 o'clock, and I'm there with one eye shut already and dozing, and all of a sudden the other eye flips open and think, I ain't put wood in the stove. Snow's flying. It's 2 feet deep down here. I'm going to have to get out of bed, crawl out of bed, go get in my truck, clean the snow off, drive down there. I'm going to drive down there and put wood in the stove. Go down there, kicking snow out of the way and slapping, going down, drive down there. You know how? You know what the victory to me was with all of this? When I could say, Lord, I love You. This is Your stove. It's Your wood. This needs done to the glory of God. And I'm going to do this for Jesus. It turned the temptation to murmur into glory. If Paul and Silas could took a whooping and been glad for it, I can put some wood in a stove in a winter night. And I can do that and say, I've got something tonight to do for the Lord. I was walking in love, taking every circumstance, taking the circumstance of duty, of simple, carnal, natural duty, and walking in love with it. Lord, this is Yours. And then all the things that's put in perspective, if I love the Lord and I feel the pressure of a duty, I can turn that in and walk in love, and it changes the victory that's in it. I have victory in this because I'm not doing it because I have to now. I'm doing it because I get to. And love is freedom's law. And I'll do it for Jesus, and I'll do it. He died on the cross for me, and sure, I can put the wood in the stove. I can go and do what I need to do. Sometimes people are cantankerous against me, or sometimes they're there, but I get to do it for the Lord. And it changes that. And we can walk in love for God. It's not just trying to get to the place that I can love God enough to speak a word right to somebody. But I can live in the state of it. I can walk in love. And that was the challenge that was laid forth in this Scripture. And if you doubt that that means that, then there would have to be some other explanation to why He tied it to Jesus. And then followers, be as dear children, imitate Him. How are you going to get around the fact that He wanted us to imitate Jesus and said, walk in love? Because walking in love was imitating Jesus. And Jesus would go by and He may see the vilest that other people would turn away. And He'd lay a hand on them. He would go towards them. There was a blind beggar. I think many people probably avoided Him after a while. And He's coming by. And He started saying, "Who? What is this going on?" Jesus is coming by. "Jesus, have mercy on me." "Be quiet." "Nah, not going to be quiet." Jesus wasn't walked away from Him. He came up to Him. See, Jesus walked in the love that He had for humanity because He was in the state of it. It was who He was. Lord, help us to do that. I'm going to tell you, we live in a time that there's a lot of vile things. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes they're vile enough to make us want to turn away. But there are souls in there. There are souls connected. There are souls that are this way. And the Lord wants us to walk in love. Overcoming those bad things with good. Love wins. It doesn't always win immediately, Brother Ivan. But it always wins. It always wins in us if it doesn't win anywhere else. But I'm going to tell you, it's the only way to go. I know there can be debates and ideas about how we approach the way we do things. But I'm going to tell you the way I approach it. I approach it this way. My duty as a minister is to make the gospel as appealing as I can. And to sound the value of the gospel to the people around so that they will love it. It would be ridiculous for us to try to dictate this thing that can't be dictated. Because if you've done everything perfectly but you didn't love the Lord, you wouldn't have anything if you could do it. The thing that we want to grow in the person's life is that they love God with all their heart. And that they walk in love for that love for Jesus. They walk in that love and they want to be like Christ, and it makes them to love their fellow man. It makes them willing to love their fellow man. They see in Christ the value that He had for me. That I was so undone, I followed bad things, sinful things. I'd done things that I looked back at and said, "Was that really me?" I worked at Snowshoe 1 year as a young man, and I didn't care for anything. Nothing. I didn't care for anything. Had a dirty mouth. I drove a van, and there was women, there was older church women that was riding in that bus, and I didn't care what I said. And never was I even ashamed of it. And I got saved. I regret that. I regret acting like that, and them people trying to live for the Lord and didn't want to hear foul stuff. And now I'm in a bad place that I love the Lord and don't want to hear foul stuff. And I know what it must have meant to them. And I say, "Lord, help me." And I'll hear somebody cuss like that, and the first thought I'll have or say something I'll think is, that's, "Lord, have mercy on that man." Because that was me. That was me 35 years ago. That young man. Right there, 35 years ago. And God saved me. I don't know why He loved me and saved me, but He did. And He wants me to walk in the same love that He had, that I might be able to. I can hear those things and be bigger. Folks, there is something more to the gospel. It is a great salvation. It gives us something so much more. There is a power in the gospel to overcome ourselves. There is a God. So because we look and think, sometimes, "Well, I'm doing pretty good because I have been motivated to love in these disasters and do all that." Hey, listen, that's good. I appreciate that. But I'm going to tell you, If you've ever been around that, I'm sure you all have. I don't know what yours is, but I've been around a number of these places. And, I'll speak of Joplin, Missouri again. Joplin, Missouri just astounded me what came out of that. That big tornado went through there, and I think it took up a third of the city. I mean, it tore up some stuff. And do you know there was a shoe store there that took the front of the store off and didn't even disturb the shoes on the shelf in the store? And the store, it didn't need a door. It didn't have a front. The whole front of the store was going to fit in there. And nobody even tried to go in and get the shoes. There was not. I think I heard of one case of vandalism in about all of that. There was people that come out of the woodwork, and one of the most touching was an old guy that set up a chainsaw sharpened place, was cutting all that, and he didn't do much, but he set up a little table and a sign, and he had his files and stuff, and when they had dull or something, bring it to him, and he sat there all day long sharpening saws. That's what he could give. Another guy that owned his place gave boots. He just said he went out and looked at the people working in flip-flops and little thin shoes and stuff. They didn't have nothing else. And this guy that owned the shoe store that didn't get hit just outside there, they started trucking in at his expense. He started trucking in work boots and said, "You come and get them as you need them." And he just asked one thing. Don't take advantage of this, folks. If you don't need it, don't do it. And he gave thousands of dollars to the... I mean, out of their heart they poured. Almost every corner had water. Hamburgers frying. Hot dogs frying. The whole place as a community come together. That's wonderful. And as soon as that all melts down, they fight with one another. They will give to one another. You know, Christianity is more than that. Christianity is more than coming than you. You help me, Brother Ivan, and you lifted a log off of me, and I'll lift one off of you. Christianity goes to the point that we lift the log off the fellow that put the log on us. We don't love because they loved us. We love because we walk in love. Because love has been a part of who we are. And the challenge tonight is walk in love. Allow our lives to be dictated in what we do. I have always needed the Lord to help me for quick answers, quick statements. I just need it. It's my makeup. I need the Lord to help me to do that so I can better fulfill walking in love. Take time to consider in those kind of things. In Luke 10, ten and twenty-five of Luke. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself. Oh, Lord, help us to be careful about that phrase. Being willing. Because the way that's stated sounds like almost a conflict, if you'll give me this liberty. In my mind, it sounds like a conflict of a guy that had enough knowledge to speak that words right. And the conflict that must have had in him to do it. I think he knew that he should, because it didn't say that he was just a power. He said just that he was just willing to do it. Him being willing to just stretch something a little bit, or just willing to justify himself. You know what we do? We justify ourselves in many occasions to say, "I got the right to do it. I'm not a doormat. I got a right to say that back. I got to stand my place. It's better, willing to justify myself says it's better for them. There's times it might be, but you better be very careful about the willingness to justify yourself rather than following the dictates of the Scripture, which is to walk in love.
Yes.
Walk in love. Don't justify yourself, but walk in love. This man willing to justify himself said, "Who is my neighbor?" Well, Jesus wanted it clarified. Jesus must have loved him somewhat, because he answered his, even him being willing to justify himself. And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and round him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." I want to just mention the psychology. You probably heard it, but the psychology of this, that it's amazing that he saw the man and literally moved himself to the other side of the road. He could have walked by on that side just the same, but there's psychology involved in it. He put as much space between him as he could in the hopes of removing as much responsibility as he could. It was a natural response in psychology to do. The man did it. He went by on the other side, getting around the responsibility that he had to the situation. So I want to challenge us about something about walking in love. I'm a human. I don't know everything that I ought to do in a perfect way. I don't know how to do what I want to do. If it was aiming to try to minister people, sometimes I don't know what words to use. If I wanted to witness to somebody about the need of their souls, my tongue flops around on me. I don't always do it the way I'd like for it to come out. But that's not what the important part is. The important part is that we're walking in love. That we put value on that person. So the guy that was responsible for it, by chance, by providence possibly, I say by providence decree, there come by a priest to minister to the man that had fallen. But he didn't do it. He walks on the other side of the road and dissolves his responsibility and goes on and justifies himself that it was okay to do. Why should I care? I'm busy. This isn't a friend of mine. This isn't a companion of mine. It's not my family. Let somebody else do it. He justified himself and went on by. But he did not fulfill the love of God because he wasn't walking in love. Would you say that possibly this man would have helped his family? Would this man have helped in a disaster? Could this man have been moved to tears by starving children? I suppose he could have. But he wasn't walking in love. So a Levite comes by. The next guy in line that should be responsible, he behaves the same way. Providence of God sent him by. If there's with God, many times if A don't work, there's a B plan.
Yes.
And if B fails, he'll have somebody. And there was finally in the third line of it, somebody that by the very nature of the world that he lived in, should have walked by on the other side. But he walked in love. He didn't have to do it. But he took it anyway. Am I my brother's keeper? It's a question that has rang down through the centuries in people's minds. Am I responsible? I'll say this. I'm responsible for everything in my world. I'm responsible for it. I think the rich man was responsible for Lazarus. That's where he laid.
And when God puts things in the world, our world around us, if we're walking in love, we're going to accept the challenge of that. Sometimes it isn't easy to want to take on that responsibility. I know sometimes there's let's just say this. Sometimes the saints get bashed. But my testimony is the saints have been awful good to me. From the time I got saved, I had a loving hand on me. And the saints cared, and I appreciated it. And my wife can say the same thing. Was saved some years later, and she said of the saints around her that they was a blessing and helped the whole way through. I thank God for the people of God. But sometimes I wonder about a new one comes in, and there is a I got some little biddies up home. My hen hatched out these little biddies, and it's so interesting to know that they always run in under her feathers, and she could fluff those feathers out so those little birds could hide in there, and then they popped their head out at different places and back in. It was the neatest thing that she protected and took care of them, and I am no doubt that the saints have that kind of heart when there's that kind of need. And yet sometimes I've been amazed at what we allow to split us up. And what we allow to be, sometimes, I've told my wife this, sometimes there's these things, and maybe it's against me, maybe against somebody else, and I'll say, honestly, you got that criticism? You have that criticism towards somebody? Really? That little thing? When that brother has given the last 50 years of his life devoted, worked, labored, done all those things, and you're going to measure him by one moment? Lord, help us. Can Peter ever outlive the fact that he denied the Lord? You're going to measure Peter's whole life by that moment? How about we walk in love and recognize that all of our failures that we have, all the failures that I've had and times that I've said to different ones or congregations or people, would you forgive me? Then handle that right. Then maybe I can extend the same mercy and walk in love towards them, not get my eyes crossed, but say we're all on an eternal journey. Lord, help us to make heaven. Lord, saturate us. Help us to walk in love. It's our only option that has victory in it. The Scripture says, well, let's read it. It's in the 5th chapter of Matthew. One phrase there I want to get. Well, I'll start with the 43rd. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. I'm telling you, that's the Word of God. What can I possibly have in me that would make me do such a thing as that? It's called the love of God. It goes beyond what us humans will do. It goes beyond the idea that we'll pull together in a national disaster or a local disaster, or that we'll do something like that. It goes beyond that. That's friends. That's people that's pulling together. But what about the place that doesn't have that? Love your enemies, he said. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Love wins. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you... I've seen a little film footage one time of Adolf Hitler. And he had a dog. And he was loving that dog. A lot of people love their dogs. He was just playing and loving on that dog, hugging it as a pet and that. Responsible for the death of 6 million Jews in concentration camps and right out murder and of all the things that he had accomplished and done. But he still had love in his heart. Love his dog. He loved his girlfriend. He loved the people around him. So it's not a great thing. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Even publicans love their mothers and their children and those that love them and the groups that they make, the camaraderies they make, the people that they can hold hands with, those kind of things. But Christianity is made for Christians to walk in love. That's what we ought to be when we go to the supermarkets. It's what we ought to be when we go to the mailbox. When we face those that aren't like us, this is what we're supposed to be. All the time. It's the state. Lord, help us. It's the state. Help me not to bounce around and trying to do. Help me to get into the state in it. That way when somebody calls me up on the phone, I'm in the state of it. I'm walking in love. I didn't say a kind word to them. Maybe I haven't got time for them. Maybe I can say to them, call me back later, or really I'm not interested in this, but Lord bless you. I don't have to be me. I don't have to be cantankerous about it. I can walk in love because that person is valuable. They're not my friend. But by God's grace, they could be. If God would let me, I'd make them that. If God would let me, I'd make them be my friend. I would have them as a friend. So they could call me by name and me by name. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've got off the phone with a lot of telemarketers. I've got off of there a lot of businessmen. And I've got off of there with a joy in my heart from the conversations that we had one another. Not all the things that even God's even mentioned in or comes to spiritual things, but a friendship is kindled and a companion. You know what I'm saying? Something is there. And I can tell in their voice that it's made their day. And it's a good thing. If we walk in love, the potential is great, isn't it? It's victory. It's victory. It feels a whole lot better to end the day loving people than to be upset at them. It sure is a lot better that at the end of the day that I can lay my head down and say all's well than I have a bunch of people stirred up. And I'm going to have to figure out how to get out of this. Save face, they call it. Trying to make myself in. Lord help us to walk in love. For the publicans do the same. And if you salute your brother only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans? But here's the challenge. And I'm going to tell you, to me personally, this has been a great challenge. To walk, not to have love, not to present love, not to reach out in times of need, not to do those kind of things, but to walk in love is a challenge. And it fits this scripture. Be ye perfect. Not perfect that there's nothing that can... The English definition of perfection is that can't be... There's no add to it. It's met. It's maximum. There's no more increase. Perfect means that it can't be done any better. We can be done better. But this idea of perfect means that we have extended beyond... And we extend this to everybody, not just be ye therefore perfect. Even as your Father is perfect, because He reigns on all of us. The sun shines on us all. And He looks down that way and He gave us an example of Jesus Christ to help us to be able to say that is, I've heard it, but He lived it. And when He was challenged with all these things, Jesus had the power in Him to command the universe. And I don't know. I've got an ornery nature to me, and I'm afraid I'd have had to send some hornets after them Pharisees a few times. I'd have had to done something to them gainsayers a few times. But you know what? The Lord, when He was reviled, He walked in love. Always considering. There was a time where there was a bunch of people there that had followed Him and listened to Him and followed Him. And the Scripture says that He looked on them and had compassion. And He was afraid to send them away because His mind was always to their value. These people, this is something that's worth something. And He says, we need to feed them. And it was an extension of the love that He had for them. All those people that by their own choice, and I don't think all of them went His way,
But I'm going to tell you, he loved them all anyway. And he fed them all. And I'm going to say something else. When he washed the disciples' feet, he washed Judas' feet. The King of the universe knelt down and washed the one that was going to betray him. And he knew it. And he gave that because it was impossible that he didn't. He walked in love. He loved Judas too. He gave him that same opportunity, the same. He walked in love. Lord, help us to be able to reach out, to be able to walk in love. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.